Good morning. Welcome, welcome. It is 9:20 time for our hymn sing time. So thank you for being here. And I'm watching for the first hand raise. Oh, I saw Susan quick and then Alita. Susan? Thine be the glory. 308 and verses 1 and 3 of 308. Thank you. And then Alita? 192. Verses 1 and 6 of hymn 192. There's a spirit in the air. Verse 6. Alita, that's not one I'm very familiar with. That's a very pretty tune. Thank you. Yes, please. 288, verses 1 and 5, if I heard correctly. 288, were you there? Verses 1 and 5.
Tremble, tremble.
thank you. And we have time for one more. That was a beautiful song. Anyone else with a request? Yes, Trudy. 277. 1 and 3 of 277. Tell me the stories of Jesus. Verses 1 and 3 of 277. Thank you, everyone. We'll now continue with our service.
Thank you, Colleen. Good morning. Welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith, on this beautiful Palm Sunday morning. Especially welcome to any visitors we may have today. We hope that you will find our congregation warm and welcoming and that you will be inspired by our service. Please find the red pad at the end of your pew and sign in and give us a record of your attendance here today. There are also blue cards for prayer requests in the back of the pews, and you can fill out a prayer request and leave it in the offering plate at the back of the church. We have everyone is invited for coffee fellowship across the breezeway after the worship service has ended. We hope you'll join us for some wonderful refreshments and time of fellowship over there. Okay, we have a lot of happy birthdays here remaining in the month of March. Cheryl Steffens, Lucy Birnbaum, Becky King, Rachel Moore, Stephen Morales, Destiny Fountain, Alicia Medina, Jennifer Kelsey, Jan Pasqua, and Denise Hinckley. We hope you all have a very happy birthday month. The April newsletter is available in the Narthex. Please contact the office to change your delivery method if you wish. You can have it by email, or pick it up, or have it in the regular snail mail. Please join us on Sundays after the service at 11 a.m. in the Camellia Room for viewing The Chosen Season 4. They're working on the episodes of that now, and you're welcome to join in at any time. If you are interested in volunteering to record prayer requests shared during the joys and concerns times of the service, please contact Pastor Phillips. Please let us know who can be removed from the prayer list. If any of those are antiquated now, we can revise and edit and make room for new concerns. Donations are needed. Small wrapped Easter candies. I assume this is for the children's egg hunt.
Yes, so they can bring it into the church office if they forgot today.
Okay, if you forgot to bring it today, you can leave it in the church office at any time during the week, and those small wrapped Easter candy donations will be greatly appreciated. Your Easter lily order is due today. Please be sure that you get it turned in on time. The order forms are available on the back table in the Narthex, and you can make a dedication or a memory or honor for family members or anyone that you wish for your Easter lily dedication. Please participate in that, and it helps to finance the Lily Project. Monday, Thursday, a special service will be held April 2nd, Thursday at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. On Good Friday, it's a community service. Good Friday service on April the 3rd at noon. The Green Valley Christian Church is the host. They're down on Bryant Street. Free Saturday movies, April 4th at 11 a.m., Soul on Fire is the film to be viewed that day. In 1987, a 9-year-old John O'Leary survives a terrible accident and grows into a man who shows us what it means to truly live. It's based on a true story. That's going to be shown in Faith Theater number 2. And they always have a lot of wonderful snacks involved with that, too. Please rise as you are able and join me in the call to worship. Hosanna to the Son of God. Bless and honor him with glory and power.
Hosanna to the Son of God. Extol and worship him with thanks and adoration.
Shout for joy. Our King marches on to save the sin-sick souls.
Shout for joy, our King marches on, proclaiming his kingdom is here now.
And now please join in singing hymn number 278, verses 1 through 3.
Hosanna, loud Hosanna, the little child one sang. Through pillar, court, and temple, the lovely anthem rang. To Jesus who had blessed and cross-folded to his breast, the children sang their praises. the simplest and the best. From Olivet they followed, beat his exultant crown. The victor palm branch waving, the chanting clear and loud. The Lord of earth and heaven rode on in lowly state, nor scorned that little children should on his bidding wait. Hosanna in the highest, an ancient song we sing. For Christ is our Redeemer, the Lord of heaven, our King. Oh, may we ever praise him with heart and life and voice, and in his blissful presence eternally rejoice.
And now it's time for the passing of the peace. Please greet your neighbors.
You know, if you look at this, there's a camera there, just wave it. They'll see you. All right, let's welcome our beloved family members on Zoom. Hello, Helen. So glad to see you. All the way from Chico. Always there, always, every Sunday. And good morning to George in Arizona. And good morning to, Arkansas. Well, I moved you, George, by mistake. Good morning to you, June, and Kenny in Georgia, and Alicia, good morning to you.
and Bill and April, and Carol and Mike, and Chris. Good morning to you all.
Good morning, everybody. I just learned this the middle of this week that we finally have some kind of a plan for Lorene's service. It's not going to be here at the church. It still will be on April 11th, Saturday. And that's about 2 weeks from now. And it's going to be at the Ukiah Elks Lodge. It's on 2nd Street, just off of Ukiah Boulevard. I have had no input into any of the planning, so this is all a surprise to me. I feel obligated to let the people know that haven't ever been to the Elks Lodge. The services are always held on the second story. There is no elevator. You have outside steps and inside stairs. So for those that can't deal with that, be pre-warned. But I'm glad to have the fact that we know when this is going to take place now. Thank you.
That's going to be 12:30, and I'd like to know how many of us will attend the service. And I would have a probably sign up sheet, just write down your name so that I can tell the family how many of us are coming.
And I want to tell you, too, that in the newsletter online, it's updated, but if it's printed in the back for those few that are there, it's still the old time and place. So go ahead and update that to the Elks Lodge at 12:30 if you pick up a printed copy.
Hi, this is Mark Bertel. I found out that a good friend of mine from high school had a heart attack, and he's doing fine. I reached out to him through Lori's Facebook here. I kind of lost track of him, so it was really nice to touch bases with him again, and I'm joyful that we're going to maybe have a chance to get together the next time I go up to Billings, Montana. So just prayers for Chuck and his family. Thank you.
I also want to put out a plea that if you have neighborhood children or friends or family that have children, there's a little flyer in there that has the Holy Week services, but also for the Easter egg hunt. We'd really like to have kids come to the Easter egg hunt. And so far, I have one because I'm bringing him, but we want more than one. So if you know any children or have grandchildren or neighbors that have children, please pick up one of those flyers and invite them to come, because it's a lot more fun when you have a lot of kids running around. And we had a lot of kids dyeing Easter eggs for us, and they've made some Easter eggs that we're gonna have for our Easter hearty snacks. We're also asking people to bring hearty snacks for our refreshment on Easter Sunday. We won't be showing The Chosen on Easter Sunday. It will all be fellowship time and egg hunt and celebration. So please think about bringing hearty snacks for next week and inviting your neighbors with children. Or your neighbors, they could come too.
Susan Elmore here. I think I shared with you that my grandson Reagan was going to Ecuador on a mission trip, and he comes home on Tuesday. But I wonder if I could read you what his teacher wrote back to my daughter. And it says, and this is just one day, he says, melt your heart to know these kids work so hard for people they do not know. Yesterday, we mixed and then poured cement, painting, moved dirt to clear space to add to a house, and fixed the steps. This was done for a family living in two homemade rooms, a kitchen and a bedroom. The tearful, heartfelt thanks at the end of the day was a heavenly treasure that cannot be bought or lost. And there's quite a few of these kids. I have a picture of them. They're all standing in a row in this narrow passageway, moving dirt bucket by bucket to each other down this hill to make room up above for this family to add onto their house. But it does your heart good to know that there are some wonderful kids out there. And my grandson says he believes there is a Christian movement among the younger people in the United States. And my daughter said she's read too that there's been a lot of these get-togethers with the young people and thousands of them together. And so it's hopeful. It really is hopeful. Anyway, I'm proud of my grandson and proud of all these kids. So they come back on Tuesday, so if you give a prayer for them and safe journey, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
And your grandson's name?
Reagan.
I would like to update what I told you about last week, and that is my brother-in-law's employee's son, who is, I found out, a captain in the Army. He is an intelligence officer and went separate from his troop or whatever. I said last week Kuwait, but he actually landed in Jordan. But please pray for all of the soldiers and sailors and Marines, most especially, who have found themselves in the Middle East.
Thank you. His name is Greg.
Greg.
Hi, Judy Salveson here. I got pictures from my son and daughter-in-law yesterday that 2-year-old Cannon is now on a soccer team with all the full regalia and everything. And they had a picture of him. I guess he was a goalie, but all he likes to do is run, and kick a soccer ball, so it's really cute. And then afterwards, to my sadness, they took him to get his first haircut. They cut off all his baby curls, and now he looks like a little boy.
That's not always a bad thing. If there's anyone on Zoom, please raise your hand and unmute. Go ahead, George. George, you have to unmute first. Okay.
You hear me now?
Yes.
I would wish some prayers for my people because I have fallen and injured myself, and I have to go in for back surgery next week. Oh. So I'll probably be down for 6 months.
Thank you for sharing that. That's really sad news, but we'll pray for you for recovery and patience.
Patience, yes, patience. Okay, thank you. And God bless all of you.
You too, George. Anyone else?
Please join me in the unison prayer. Dear Jesus, our crucified Redeemer, beyond the shouts of the crowd, you saw the way of suffering. Riding a foal into Jerusalem, your eyes were fastened on Calvary. Not wavered by sorrow nor weakened by pain, you paid it all for our sins.
Grant us steadfast faith, so that we may not give up nor give in to our shame, that in the end we may share in the glory of Easter with you. For your name's sake, amen. Amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence, and I'd like us to remember those who are dealing with the health issues. Continue to pray for Rachel. David is scheduled for hip replacement surgery this next month. in about 3 weeks. And
day after Easter.
Day after Easter.
Monday after Easter.
That's a good day to have a surgery. Great. And then continual recovery for Cheryl. And Dan is getting a new treatment for his bone marrow cancer, and I hope that it'll go really, really well. So let us continue our prayer in silence. Lord, when we come to you and focus on your presence in our life, open our senses to recognize your presence, we can feel your presence. We can see you. We can see the things that you are working on our behalf. The world is still going around and nobody seems to notice what we as individuals are going through. But Lord, you know exactly our pain, our problem, our troubles, our issues, our present situation, and our future. You know us all together. So we come and submit ourselves to you and to your power and to your control once more. And pray that we will continue to receive the strengthening grace from you, that we may receive strength to be steady on our feet, that we can travel on. We may see some barriers before us, but, oh Lord, you are walking this lifelong journey with us, and we can overcome any obstacles that we see. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you for all that you have done for us, for our loved ones, the things that you are working on in our life today. We thank you. The wonderful plan that you have for us and the guidance that we continue to receive from you, we thank you. So we lift up our praises and also ask you to embrace our loved ones, those that you have placed in our hearts and in our life circle. And we ask you to reach out unto them, touch their lives, and manifest your love, your power, your presence in their life as well. So as we worship you, O Lord, on this Palm Sunday, we know that you walk the journey with us and continue to lead us on, that someday we will join you in New Jerusalem, in your glory. So until then, O Lord, we trust that you will continue to provide with the things that we need, the protection that we need, the grace that we need. So we submit ourselves to you and to your care and ask you to bless us, O Lord. Empower us through your Holy Spirit, that we may carry the crosses that you have given unto us. Our crosses are in many different shapes and sizes. Sometimes we may not want to carry them, but, O Lord, you have given us the crosses, and that's our mission, to carry them. And we commit ourselves to be the carrier of your crosses, that we may bring glory unto you by carrying them. So we pray, O Lord, that you continue to use us, that your name may be glorified through our mission and ministries, through this church, in this community, in the nation and the world today. So we now join our prayers together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now it's time for Young at Heart Moments with Deb Davidson.
Today's story is The Garden, the Curtain, and the Cross, the true story of why Jesus died, written by Carl Lafferton, illustrated by Catalina Echeverry. A very long time ago, right here in this world, there was a garden. In the garden, everything was wonderful. The world was full of laughing and playing and smiling and fun. There was nothing bad ever. There was no one sad ever. And best of all, God was there. Hello, Adam. Hello, Eve. He had made it all. He was in charge of it all. He loved it all. People could see God and speak to God and just enjoy being with God. Eve, God's here. He wants to walk with us again. How cool is that? Yay, I bet it's going to be even more amazing than yesterday. It was wonderful to live with God. But then, one day, the people did a terrible thing. They decided they didn't want to do what God said. They decided they wanted a world without God in charge. God calls this sin. Sin spoils things. So sin has no place in God's wonderful garden. God said to the people, "You can't live with me in my garden anymore." And he sent them outside. To show the people they had to stay outside, God put some warrior angels in front of the garden. The angels were like a big keep out sign. Now things were sometimes bad, and people were sometimes sad, but people still kept sinning because they didn't want God to be in charge. So no one came into God's wonderful place. God said, "Because of your sin, you can't come in." God wanted people to remember it is wonderful to live with him, but because of your sin, you can't come in. So he told the people to build a special building called his temple where he would live. In the middle of the temple was the most wonderful place in the world, the place where God was, with nothing bad and nothing sad. It was very exciting. But then God told people to put a big curtain around this wonderful place. The curtain had pictures of warrior angels on it. It was a big keep out sign. For hundreds of years, the temple curtain reminded people that God said, "It is wonderful to live with him, but because of your sin, you can't come in." Babies became grown-ups and had babies, and those babies became grown-ups and had babies, and those babies became grown-ups and had babies. Hundreds of summers and winters passed by, and the keep-out curtain stayed in the temple. Then one day, God the Son came to live in this world as a person. He was called Jesus. Jesus always did what God said. Jesus never sinned. And Jesus visited the temple where the keep-out curtain hung. Jesus knew that things were sometimes bad and sometimes sad. Jesus said that God had sent him to open the way back to God's wonderful place, where there would be nothing bad and no one sad. But People still didn't want to let God be in charge, so they decided to put Jesus on a cross to die. It was the most bad thing that had ever happened. It was the most sad day of all time. But Jesus had a plan. He had always planned to die on the cross. What a strange plan. Why would God's Son plan to die? On the cross, Jesus took our sin. All the bad things we do, all the sad things they cause, Jesus took them all from us. And when he did, something amazing, astonishing, astounding happened. The curtain tore. God had ripped up the keep out sign. God's wonderful place is open again. Because Jesus died, we can go in. After Jesus died, his friends put him in a tomb. They were very sad. For 2 days, nothing happened. Then, the next morning, Jesus' friends went to see his body in the tomb, and it wasn't there. A little later on, Jesus' friends were all together, and suddenly Jesus was there, alive. Suddenly his friends weren't sad. Now they were so, so happy. God had brought Jesus back to life so that he could live in God's wonderful place forever. And Jesus had sent everyone an invitation to come and live with him there too. He tells us, God says it's wonderful to live with him. Because of your sin, you can't come in. But I died on the cross to take your sin. So all my friends can now come in. We can live with God forever. There will be nothing bad and no one sad. We will see God and speak to God and just enjoy being with God, just as he planned. It will be wonderful to live with him, and it's all because of Jesus. We will say every day, thank you, King Jesus, you're amazing. And you can start saying that today. May we all invite Jesus and his Holy Spirit into our hearts to transform our lives for the better. Amen.
Now it's time to sing hymn number 297, verses 1 through 3, Beneath the Cross of Jesus.
Self, my own shame,
it's time for our scripture reading, which today is Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. So glad to see you all in here in this beautiful sanctuary, worshiping together. And I pray that we, all of us, will have a special visit from the Holy Spirit as we worship together this morning. The following responses I found on Google about how things are. Susan asked me, "How are you, Pastor?" And I said, "Wait until you hear my message." This may not be my responses, but these are the responses I found. "Somewhere between better and best. If I were doing any better, I'd hire you to enjoy it with me. I'm so great, I have to sit on my hands to keep myself from clapping. Word on the street is that I'm really good. Doing well, unless you have an airborne illness and have just infected me. Nice and dandy like cotton candy. Just hug me and leave it at that. Great, stellar, fantastic, but dead inside. I'm still sucking air. Rolling with the punches. I'm totally prepared for the end of the world. Real terrible, thanks for asking. Partly cloudy with a chance of a breakdown. I'm just in survival mode. And you? Somewhere between blah and meh. Not bad, could be better, could be payday. Can't complain. I'm tired, but no one listens. Hopefully not as good as I will ever be. Different day, same existence. I have a pearls, so I must be okay. Better than some, not as good as others. All right so far, but there's still time for everything to go horribly wrong." You know what, Chris is online right now. Whenever I ask her, you know what she said? "Thank the Lord I'm above the ground." That's what she says all the time. I found a dozen more responses. Everyone is conscientious about how their life unfolds based on their understanding of what life is. How do we as Christians view our lives? do we know a response that might be considered biblical? For example, if we use the cross as our reference point, our standard for measuring life, then we can say, way better than I deserve, or more accurately, my life is the best it can be. Let's look at the gospel lesson and see what it teaches us about how Jesus viewed his life and how we should view ours. Every Jewish male was required to present himself at the temple in Jerusalem 3 times a year during Pesach, that is a feast of unleavened bread that Jesus was going up to Jerusalem to celebrate that, and Shavuot, that is a feast of weeks, that's coincide with the Pentecost, and the Sukkot, that's a feast of tabernacle. The account of Jesus in Jerusalem aligned with these festivals. Whenever Jesus was there in Jerusalem, it was during those festivals. Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread as usual. No one except Jesus knew that it would be his final celebration of the feast. After 3 years of ministry, teaching, performing miracles, healing, and feeding, Jesus gained popularity among the people. Sensing this, James and John sought prominent political positions when Jesus took the throne. What James and John sensed was correct. Jesus had been to Jerusalem many times during festivals, but unlike previous visit, Jesus arranged to ride a donkey instead of walking into the city. This time, a large crowd gathered to welcome Jesus into the ancient city of David. The size of the crowd showed how much people respected Jesus. Notice their gestures. They took off their cloaks and spread them on the road, and they placed tree branches along the path. John's Gospel says they used palm branches, while Mark mentions leafy branches. Both imply that the crowd goal was to cover the road as much as possible. In 2 Kings 9, when Jehu was anointed king, people spread their garment under him. So they apparently got the tradition of that from the Old Testament time. The crowd gestures during Jesus' entry into Jerusalem signified submission, homage, and victory. It was like a modern-day red carpet event. Their shouts matched their gestures. They cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Hosanna means save or save us. Save us from what? From foreign aggression. The crowd message was loud and clear. Jesus, a descendant of the most respected king David in the history of Israel, was entering the city that David built. The crowd wanted Jesus to become their king after David and be a liberator from the Romans. Jesus was supported by his popularity as he marched into the capital city. Plus, people despise foreign rule. All these factors created the perfect setting for Jesus to take the throne. What do people do when they see a chance for success? They don't waste any time seizing it, especially when it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. If you miss the chance, it will never come again. All Jesus needed to do at this critical moment was declare himself king. But Jesus' eyes were fixed on the cross, and he walked the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, and was crucified. Moreover, Jesus' destiny was decided long before he was born, and at his birth, he was named Jesus, which means Yahweh saves. He was born to save people from sin. Jesus knew his earthly mission very clearly and was never, ever swayed. We can glimpse of his firm resolution in some of his sayings. In John 12, 27, Jesus said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, for this purpose I have come to this hour." Jesus responded when James and John came and asked for the political promotion. Jesus said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many." At the very last moment of his life on the cross, Jesus cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," and we know all this. "Eli, Eli, that's my God, lama, that's a why, sabachthani, that's why have you forsaken me?" Right? A biblical linguistic scholar suggested a slightly different interpretation of that word on the cross. Jesus knew Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, and I'm sure he knew Latin as well. Of course, he's God. He knows everything, right? But during the time, Jesus spoke the native language of the old Galilean Aramaic, right? And if you look at "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani" from the Galilean Aramaic, it could mean a slightly different things. If we interpret Jesus' word from that old Galilean Aramaic, it would mean, "Listen to my heart. This is my destiny. This is why I came to earth in human form, to die and give you eternal life." Regardless, Jesus was very clear from the beginning to the end that he came to die on the cross for salvation. He saw his life through the lens of the cross, nothing else. His life was centered on the cross. Nothing could change his perspective. Now, the question is, can we see our lives the same way Jesus did, through the lens of the cross? Yes, we can. Maybe we must. When we do, lens of the cross will change our understanding and attitude toward life. How so? First, the lens of the cross shape our view of life. Usually, people judge their lives based on hopes and dreams. Many of us have adopted this view as well. Our crosses define our identity, hopes and dreams, the direction of our lives, our work, our relationship, and everything else. The crosses we bear influence how we should live. Secondly, the crosses we bear become God's way of showing us grace. As is often said, crosses are painful, but in truth, our crosses serve as channels for God's grace. God understands our limits and gives us crosses that are manageable for us to carry. We can certainly handle our crosses and even find joy in carrying them. Finally, no matter how heavy we feel, our cross is never heavier than the one Jesus bore for us. Because of our sins, we are meant to be punished on the cross, but Jesus loved us and took our place. So how are we? And how should we live? There are many ways to answer these questions. But the most truthful answer is revealed by the crosses we bear. Let me introduce you to the life of a young Christian man whose life was suddenly ended by a disease. People might have seen his life as unfortunate, but he had a different perspective. The following article was written in the book called The Borden of Yale, and that is the biography of William Whiting Borden. When William Borden graduated from a Chicago high school in 1904, he was heir to the Borden Dairy Estate, which made him a millionaire. For his graduation present, his parents gave him a trip around the world. As the young man traveled, he traveled through Asia, the Middle East, and Europe. And he felt a growing burden for the world hurting people. Finally, Borden wrote home to say, "I'm going to give my life to prepare for the mission field." At the same time, he wrote two words in the back of his Bible, "No reserves." During his college years at Yale University, Borden became a pillar in the Christian community. One entry in his personal journal that defined the source of his spiritual strength simply said, "Say no to self and yes to Jesus every time." During his first semester at Yale, Borden started a small prayer group that mushroomed into a movement that spread across the campus. By the end of his first year, 150 freshmen were meeting for weekly Bible study and prayer. By the time Bill Borden was a senior, 1,000 of Yale's 1,300 students, that's what, more than 80% of the whole school, were meeting in such groups. Borden met with fellow Christians to make sure every student on campus heard the gospel. Often he ministered to the poor in the streets of New Haven, but his real passion was mission. Once he narrowed his missionary call to the Kansu people in China, Borden never wavered. Upon graduation from Yale, Borden wrote two more words in the back of his Bible, "No retreat." He turned down several high-paying job offers and enrolled in seminary. After graduating, he went to Egypt to learn Arabic so he could work with Muslims in China. While in Egypt, Borden came down with spinal meningitis. Within a month, he was dead at age 25. Prior to his death, Borden wrote two more words in the Bible. Underneath the word, "no reserves" and "no retreat," he wrote, "no regret." The young man gained little worldly fame, but he lived true to his calling and carried his cross faithfully. When his work was finished, he left for his eternal home without regret. The cross of Jesus delivered the everlasting message. Our purpose on earth is to bear specific crosses from God. No matter how painful life gets, it is still better than we often think, considering the cross Jesus bore for us. We are blessed with a wonderful life and a great mission to carry crosses for the glory for the glory of Jesus, our Savior. That is our destiny. the very reason that God sent us to earth. Amen.
It's now the time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings, which you can leave in the plate at the back of the church or drop off or mail to the church office. And we'll have special music for offertory.
God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures he below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Lord Jesus, you have given us greatest gifts that no one can give unto us. That is, the forgiveness of our sins, the everlasting life in your kingdom. So, Lord, we give ourselves to you, recognizing your sacrifice, your grace, and your love for us. Receive this offering, O Lord, as we recommit ourselves to love you, love your church, and love your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, please sing hymn number 301, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my rapturous soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring his sins before me. Help me walk from day to day with this shadow o'er me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the reminder of our crosses that you have given unto us. We recommit ourselves to carry them gladly, willingly, and thankfully, with rejoicing in our hearts. So, Lord, bless us as we recommit ourselves to do the work that you have entrusted us to do, that we may continue to carry our crosses and bring glory unto you, O Lord. And as we commit ourselves to do that, we ask your blessing and empowerment, and we ask you to send us forth now in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Know he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others, all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Go now in peace, in faith.